Hello, I am Paige Alviniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast, coming at you from my house, which frankly is how I have always come to you, but I just wanted to throw that in there because every other podcaster I've listened to in the past couple of weeks has gone to great lengths to explain how their production processes have changed. I just wanted to let everybody know that mine are the same. So with that out of the way, I am happy to introduce my guest, Cecilia Gorman of Creative Talent Partners. The amazing and wonderful Cecilia does leadership workshops for us at Promax. She's a great resource and she has lots of tips. We are going to talk today about how to lead teams remotely. Welcome back, Cecilia.
Thank you, Paige. Excited to be here. Love my Promax friends.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. All right, so I was inspired to invite you back on because last week you sent out an email about leadership in these difficult times. So can you just touch on that email a little bit? What do you think are some important things for leaders to keep in mind right now?
Sure. So last week I wrote an email about leadership, and it was basically a story about Gandhi. And a reporter was trying to get Gandhi to respond to his questions, and Gandhi was like hustling and bustling with these huge crowds around him and never answered the reporter. So he kept asking, Finally, Gandhi gets on this train and the train starts pulling away, and the reporter, like kind of exasperated, says, "Gandhi, what is your message for the people?" And Gandhi replies back, "My life is my message." And so I went on to explain that if you're a leader, if you're a manager, doesn't matter if your team is, you've got one person reporting to you or a team of 20 or a team of 80, the way you show up to work, the way you carry yourself, the way you talk, the way you write emails, the way you treat people, you're living into a message every day. And for leaders, that message is leadership of what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like to be a leader, because people are watching. And so for leaders right now in this crazy time, it's such a unique period for business owners, for CEOs, for managers of teams, because how you cope with what's happening right now is going to set the tone for, I think, a lot of things on whether and how your team follows you from here on out, right?
Yeah,
it could be it could go to hell in a handbasket in a heartbeat, or you could step into this moment where there's chaos and stress and all these unknowns ratcheting around you, and you could just step into that and truly lead. So it's important to keep that in mind, that now is the time to shine, despite how difficult it feels.
So what would be your recommendations for leaders who are having their own anxiety about what's going on right now and what's happening with their businesses? How did they manage that anxiety without transferring it to their teams?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah, okay? Right.
I mean, we've got to remember that this time that we're in today, it's unprecedented. We've never been tested to this amount. We were tested around 9/11, but this is different. This is just at a level that nobody has seen before. So there's no playbook for what's going to happen. There's no hard and fast rules where everybody's kind of making it up as they go along. You wake up the next day and maybe things have gotten a little bit worse, or maybe you've coped a little bit better. So I think what leaders need to keep in mind right now is it's okay to not know all the answers. It's okay that you're going to feel a little bit of stress. I think we have to feel the feels versus fight against them, because if we start fighting against it, then I think we only serve to add to our stress level. So just number one is to like just take a breath and give yourself just a moment to feel what's happening and to digest and marinate that. So for any leader who's feeling anxious right now, I think the number one thing is you've got to stay flexible. You've got to stay flexible, because every person on your team is coping with this differently. Every family is handling this in a different way. Everybody financially has a different level of risk and potential loss right now. And so we've got to stay flexible in this new work environment. And then the second thing I would say is we've got to stay present with each other. So if you're leading teams and you and you know that everybody, including yourself, has some level of anxiety, we've got to stay in contact with each other. And we've got to make sure that we're almost over-communicating here for a week or two, making sure we're asking people if they're okay, checking to see if they have everything they need, being conscious of our presence with them because now they can't see us each day.
Do you have any recommendations on best ways for leaders to check in with their teams? Because I think probably in some cases, anxiety around having your teams working remotely and wondering, are they getting everything done? Are they just like eating Doritos all day? What are they doing? How do you manage that? Yeah. What are the best ways for leaders to sort of both manage that, but do it in a balanced way? And also, do you have any specific platforms that you like or that you think work best for people to use?
Okay. So first of all, I think we need to call a spade a spade. So if you're leading a team right now, I think you have to say this exact thing, which is, this is stressful that I'm now managing you from afar. And I'm sure you're getting used to it as well. I think we just have to say those words out loud and just say, I don't really know what the right level of connection with you is. And at the start, I don't know, maybe I'll be over communicating. Maybe you'll be wishing you're hearing from me more, but can we just make this agreement that we're going to figure this out? So if you need more from me, please let me know. If you need less from me, let's talk about it. So I think the very first thing is, let's just say out loud that we're in this unknown, uncharted territory, and it's going to be a little clunky here for a few weeks till we get it down. So capturing that out loud, I think, helps, because you can go, oh, okay, I know. That's why you're texting me, you know, every 45 minutes. So we've got to say that part out loud.
And that's a good tip, though, because I think that, like, well, I do this. I just sort of assume I'm communicating the correct response, correct amounts. It doesn't really occur to me to say, hey, team, how would you like to be communicated with? So I think,
And here's what happened is, we just took away the most effective means of communication, which is face-to-face, right? We just wiped that out. So I can't see your body language necessarily. I can't. So now I've reverted to the least productive, the least effective means of communication to run 100% of the business, you know, with the exception of video conference calls. Things are going to be misinterpreted even more. Answers are going to come back and they're going to sound even more. We've just got to be conscious of that with every text that we send, with every email that we write, that this is open for misinterpretation, and this could cause something to go wrong because I'm typing more than I ever was and we're not in a meeting.
What do you think about, you know, I think because companies are having to make this switch, not just to remote working, but in a lot of ways strategically, you know, like, what is our company strategy and how are we going to take that into the next year and beyond? And I think that is anxiety provoking as well. And then on top of it, I think that then you end up leaning more on your teams, but your teams are also very stressed in their own ways. Again, kids at home, having to homeschool kids while you work full time just seems like bananas to me. I don't know how anyone actually does that. But is there, as a leader, how do you balance those requests where you're saying, I need more out of you at a time where it's probably difficult for you to give me more?
Yeah, that one's really tough. I think at the foundation of that question is this over communication at the start, which says, hey, I might be on you a little bit more this week, and here's why. I'm trying to navigate X projects that we have on our plate, and I'm also trying to figure out a new strategy for the business. So just so you know, my stress level's up, and it may come out in the way I'm operating. But if I could just have some patience here, here's the goals that I have for you today or this week, right? So if we're saying that out loud to people, heck, I said it to my kids. I said it to my son. I said, listen, I'm getting really stressed. And what that means to you is my tolerance for some of the things that you're working on is getting lower, right? So I just had to say that out loud, which is, there's a correlation between how it's coming out of me based on the load that we're all carrying right now. And so if we can say that calmly, and of course that doesn't excuse us screaming at people or berating them, but it does give context into the environment of, this is why I was pressuring you to get X done, or this is why that deliverable is so hot for me. So I think the foundation is over communication. The second part of that is asking questions, just really, really good questions. Hey, are you good with what's due today? Hey, how's that project tracking? Is there anything you need from me to be able to get this done? So those might sound like duh questions, but it's different when I'm not seeing you 10 times a day to be able to check in and to know that I saw you do something. Now we've all gone into like the black hole with masks on. We just asking the right questions, even if the question is, how are you doing today? How are you doing today? So I have a partner in another business and we were a little bit behind on doing something. And then she sent me a note and said, hey, listen, nanny isn't coming, obviously. Both kids under the age of 6 are at home. We got a new puppy 3 weeks ago.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, my life has turned upside down. And this thing that we were working on, X, right? So it's just a little bit of that daily context to say, this is what's happening to me. And I think what gets birthed out of that, honestly, Paige, is just some empathy. Employees' empathy for the business owner to say, hey, I can understand the pressure that you're under because this isn't us just working from home. This is us battling fear and understanding what our new normal is and having potentially to entirely change a business strategy. And that compounds what we're going through right now.
I do think one thing that is a challenge of what you're talking about is I feel like this style that you're talking about, sort of over-communicating, asking questions, being empathetic, I think that's a very specific leadership style that a lot of leaders just have no experience with. If you're a leader who's much more, I don't know, tactical or much more process-driven, is there a way for that person to sort of come in this direction a little bit more? I think it's hard to ask, not to be stereotypical, but ask Joe Engineer to get empathetic in his leadership style all of a sudden. Is there a way to get those people to come a little more in this direction?
Well, I think if you are a more tactical person, that having a system by which people are working from home will appease you, right? Because maybe you need that structure, yeah. You need that system, you need that tactical to do. So what I would suggest is come up with some easy things that accomplish what I'm talking about, but maybe are in a different mode. So maybe for your team, you say, hey, listen, when you're online, just drop everyone a note that says good morning. Maybe it's a group text, maybe you do it in a chat, but just good morning. And that means I'm online now, I'm working now. And at the end of the day, hey, peace out, everyone, I'm done. And if we just give that courtesy, mm-hmm. We put some parameters around me at my computer because my day went to hell in a handbasket because my kids were crazy. Now I'm online at 8 p.m. sending a million emails and nobody's answering. Well, let's just put some boundaries there. So tactically, we could say, can everyone say good morning and good night in some capacity? So we know where your boundary is. Maybe people set an out-of-office notice that says, hey, I'm at lunch now, I'll be back on at 1. You know, whether that lunch is truly lunch or if it's taking the time out to help the kids or to go for a run because, you know, you're so stressed. So there, those things, maybe the team comes up with, hey, what are your top 3 things you want to get done today? And everybody shares that. So that there's a system that takes care of this communication connection mode and it doesn't require me to have the empathy gene. It's just some things that I can do for the team to know, this is how we're going to stay connected. This is how we're going to help each other stay productive and accountable. Because again, it's a new norm. It's an uncharted territory.
I think the other piece of that that's actually such good advice too is that idea of everybody's on a schedule. You log in, you know, whatever time you log in, you have a lunch, you log out. Because I think when you work from home, and now literally everybody is working from home, what it sends the message is that, oh, you're all available all the time because you can always be looking at your phone. You can always receive email from me. There's no reason that you're not on. And I feel like just because everybody's at home, it doesn't mean that everybody has the bandwidth to work, you know, 20 hours a day. And you don't want to ask that of them because they will fully melt down. So I think that just put it, even if you're the world's most empathetic leader, it still makes sense to put that system in place, to put those boundaries in place for your teams and let them know it's okay. Go for a run, take a lunch, sign off at 6.
Right. I think that's if I was managing a big team right now or any team, that would be the first conversation I would have. Listen, here's what we're going to try to do for a work day. Okay. Because we just think everybody's work day went to 24 hours, 7 days a week. I mean, I right. work from home, and after about 2 years of working on my own at home, I literally had to say, Cecilia, you cannot touch your laptop on Sunday. Like yeah. you cannot. Like,
totally.
It just got so bad that I had no end time at the end of the day, because I would stop and I would make dinner, but then I would get back on the computer. It never yeah. ended.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you could handle that for a week or two, but you're not going to be able to handle that for extended periods of time. And especially if you've got chaos going on at home with a spouse that's now home or kids that are now home. I don't care what age your kids
are. All of the above are home. All it's crazy.
Yeah, everybody's home. Right. So, I think it just goes back to us being flexible. It's us being reasonable, being as empathetic as we can, remembering that we're all in this together.
And now, can I ask you a personal helps. Question? Do you have children?
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay. Are they home?
They are, yes.
Yeah, you said you had that conversation with your son. Okay, so I don't have kids, but I do feel incredibly empathetic for people who do and are having to try to manage this. So do you have any advice for that? How do you do that? How do you keep the kids occupied while you're also accomplishing something at work?
I don't have the magic answer. What
like what I put I them doing. In a room and I lock the door and I'm like, I'll be back in 2 hours. No.
Totally. I am trying to get us out of the house together at least once a day. So we're just rediscovering some trails around our house. We're getting on our bikes like once a day. I told my son, I said, hey, I've got a couple of calls until 1:30. And then at 1:30, you and I are going outside. Okay. So I set the time that says we're going to do something together. Because if I said, hey, you got to wait until 5 to do that, I could just see that's not going to work. He'll be on the computer or the Xbox or his phone for 8 hours straight. And I would rather take a timeout at 1:30, know that he's gotten outside, reset, have a snack together, and then let him do something else while I do. So it's just trying to decide where a logical place I could take a break with him is. Now, their homeschooling starts, or their online schooling starts tomorrow. So I'm hoping tomorrow him and my daughter will at least have some work they need to do for school. They both have to pick a book that they are going to be digging into. We're going to have seriously like PE where they have to do something physical.
Oh, you have like, to.
Yeah.
They would just be bouncing off the walls. I can't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think everybody's own family situation, you'll have to figure it out. But I can tell you this, the rest and reprieve is going to be most important. How we know how to stop working, stop thinking about the stress so that we can rejuvenate, so that we can come back the next day and handle it. That'll be most important.
One thing that you touched on just then was screen time. And, you know, we talked about as a person who works from home, I have to say, I just wrote a column about working from home and I had advice like that too, like keep a schedule. But the truth is I often am like back on my computer after dinner a lot. So I think it's just part of it. But in terms of your kids, I have to imagine it's tempting to be like, here is an iPad. Please just sit there for a couple of hours. I have stuff to do. How are you managing that with your kids? And actually also with yourself?
Oh, gosh. I am trying, because you're like, this is, everybody wants to know the answer to this. I am being flexible. So here's the thing. My son is 16. So if
you put him on like the Nintendo, he would literally never get off for several days.
Yeah. But here's the part that I'm being flexible with is if he's on the Xbox with friends and he's got, you know, his friend Charlie, his friend Brendan, and they're playing together, I am more flexible with how long they play.
Yeah, because it's like social for them.
Exactly. So I'm letting him play longer if I know he's with friends. If he's sitting there playing by himself and he's not talking on his headset to anyone, it drives me bonkers if that goes on an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Then I'm like, okay, you got to get out of the house. Like we got to go outside. But there's something about it being with friends that I'm letting not bother me right now. But again, they haven't had school. They were on quote unquote spring break up until tomorrow. So tomorrow it might change a little bit, but I'm just saying, what the heck? I don't know what to do. And frankly, when he's on it, then I don't feel so guilty doing my work.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a catch 22, but I just think our kids are not going to die if their screen time just tripled. And there's so many educational things that they have access to that maybe some of the content will serve them well.
I mean, it is amazing. Can you imagine if this was happening and we didn't have the internet? I mean, we would
alcohol consumption would quadruple.
It's really gone up anyway, but although I'm like, I really appreciate that the state believes that alcohol is an essential item. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. No, but if you didn't have how much we're all relying on video conferencing. I did a live stream yoga class on Instagram. I don't even like Instagram, but I'm like, this is awesome. So I think at least we have that. And I agree, like, it's at least they can socially connect. And I think it's actually, these video game platforms that kids connect over as an adult, I don't think about it, but I think that's amazing too, that they can just do that and they just assume it.
Well, I think you said something interesting there. If we could translate that for leaders on teams. So right now we're discovering and maybe even rediscovering human connection in different ways. Okay, so me and two of my sisters had a video Zoom chat last night. Me and three of my best friends had like a Friday night Zoom happy hour. And never in our lives have we done that before. So we're discovering new ways to connect. So if you transfer that to a leader of a team, maybe coming out of this, you'll discover a new way to connect with your team that wasn't even on the docket before, wasn't even a consideration before. So I think that there'll be good things that come out of this. Maybe we learn a little bit more about each other personally, or we connect in a way that we never have. We see each other's faces way more than we ever did. I don't know what it is, but I think if we stay open to that, then something good will come out of all of this.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually think that's a perfect place to wrap up. So, Cecilia, thank you so much. Stay safe, stay sane, go outside.
You too, Paige. Absolutely. And,
okay, awesome. I appreciate it, and we will talk again.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye, Cecilia.
Bye-bye.
Kay Jalpiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video Helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax is rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or